humans, and hey. Welcome back to Audio Face 50 of the 10s. We are breaking down the top 50 albums of the past decade.
If you haven't missed... in case you haven't listened to the early one.
Yeah, if you somehow missed the earlier one that we did, go back and listen to 50 through 41, because we are going to just jump right back in and go into our pick for number 40 of album of the last decade.
Yes.
That'll be... No. Number 40 is Phoenix with Te Amo. Yes.
Te Amo... Phoenix have been one of my favorite bands for a while, ever since they've came out with a couple albums, If I Ever Feel Better. Oh, that's the song on Untitled. But
United.
Why did I say Untitled? United. But then with Wolfgang Amadeus Deus Phoenix, that's what really exploded them and gave them to the masses.
Yeah, people knew Listomania, 1901, Fences.
Yeah, stuff like that. But the thing that worried me when that album came out, I was like, okay, what are they going to do next? Bankrupt was very good, but I still thought there was a couple misses in that album. And then Te Amo comes out in 2017, early Audio Face, and that's why the Audio Face rule exists. It's because of this album.
Yes, the Audio Face, because there might be some real ones, the Audio Face rule exists because we reviewed this album as the singles came out, and singles were coming out every single week or so.
Yeah,
and so by the time the album had come out, we'd reviewed most of the album, so we had to create a rule that we only talk about the first single that comes out from an album release. And if we think that an artist might be trying to play around, then we just kind of cut it off.
Yes, exactly.
We sometimes let, like, okay, I'm going to release two. We let one be,
yeah, or we let one, if someone releases it, like, a year, then that's something that we can do as well.
The Beck corollary.
The Beck, exactly, Beck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But into Te Amo.
This is Phoenix at its finest to me.
Yes.
This is the accumulation of all of their previous works. They've been a band forever. The French fuck boys, as I like to call them. It's super upbeat. It is happy. It is pure indie alternative funness. When most albums that are coming out at this time are all dark and political, this is just literally, I mean, Te Amo is just about love. That's the entire thing. I mean, you have Tutti Frutti, Fior di Latte, Love Life, Goodbye Solil. All of those are just these upbeat love songs that just keep coming after one another. It's like when you get in a new relationship and you're infatuated with someone and shit, and you're like, oh, it's gonna be all right and shit, until you, like, 3 months later, you're throwing coffee mugs at each other and shit.
The coffee mugs you bought each other. Not that I know anything about that highly specifically. My pick from is gonna be Goodbye Solil.
Goodbye Solil, yeah,
because it has everything you're talking about. It has that, like, wistful love sort of idea thing, mm-hmm. with the instrumentation that is just, like, fresh, like, 70s, like, almost dance hall rock.
Yeah,
definitely a modern spin on it.
Tutti Frutti is my pick because that song, out of the whole album, that's the one I listen to the most, for sure. And it's just such a fun song. It sounds like the most Phoenix song you could think of out of any of their work. I'm like, Tutti Frutti's like pretty much bane on for them as a band. So that's 40 right there.
Yeah.
Moving on to 39. We have Preoccupations.
Yes.
With, why am I talking?
New Material.
New Material, thank you.
They released in 2018. It was 8 songs long.
One of those other Audio Face ones where you're just like, I think I've heard of Preoccupations, but they were used to be Viet Cong, but, you know, because reasons, they can't call themselves that anymore, so they changed their name. And so I think let's review this, Dan. And this is one of the best rock albums to come out of the entire decade.
It was pretty solid, yeah.
Like, I did not expect this at all. It starts off espionage. It is... For the album cover is perfect because it sounds like it was recorded where the album cover is, because it sounds like it was almost like if someone made a rock album in a monk hall and somewhere in England. That's what the album sounds like.
Yeah, the album cover just has, like, shapes going into each other. Feels like a museum sort of gallery thing.
Yeah, exactly. But,
I mean, yeah, it sort of just has, like, the board, like, the building blocks of alternative rock. This sort of, like, ethereal thing that can go on in the background. Like, in my head, the song Disarray.
Disarray.
Does that.
Just... Rate is Ready, because we're going on and on. That is a fantastic track. Compliance is, Disarray is definitely one I recommend. Compliance is my favorite off the album, because it's just a 5-minute instrumental piece that's just builds, and it's just beautiful. Again, one of my absolute favorite ending tracks of an album, and it's one I cannot recommend enough, and it's something that I've listened to a plethora of times.
Yes. Number 39, Preoccupations, very good album. Number 38, also a very good album, Mitski's Be the Cowboy.
Yes.
Another 2018 album that just like kind of rocked our socks off.
It was definitely one of those that was on a lot of people's top albums of the year list and of 2018, and deservedly so. It is a fantastic album.
Yeah, like Mitski just jumps in, and Be the Cowboy is almost like, it's not so much like a twangy country album, but it's such a mindset of just like, I'm going to go in hog wild, like ride, have fun in the album, just like be energetic, be free. And there's such like this performance and energy that you feel from Mitski's album when it's playing, that just like, it's so characteristic and so powerful. You can just hear it. The song Me and My Husband is in the middle.
Together, me and my husband, we're sticking together.
That's a really good mix,
I think, for people to kind of come into.
Yeah.
I think Lonesome Love people have heard more, but I'm still going to recommend Me and My Husband, because it just...
That's a great theme of the album.
Yeah. It encapsulates this sort of love, like love that I like to have but don't need sort of feeling.
And the album comes for those of you wondering, by the way, we've made a playlist on Spotify called 50 of the Tens.
Yes.
That has all the stuff that we've talked about on this. So
we will have links in the description of the podcast.
Yes.
So you can get that Spotify playlist and sort of listen as we're talking about these things.
Exactly.
Now, super fun time.
Now we move on to something completely different.
Yeah. Number 37 on our 50 of the Tens list is Drake and Future with What a Time to Be Alive.
What a Time to Be Alive. In 2015, Dan was shocked that I put a Future album / Drake album on here.
I was like, but who broke Sean?
But
I was going to put Future on here, but I was going to put Future's DS2.
DS2.
But we both picked 2015 Future, because 2015 Future was on one.
Was fucking phenomenal. That's before he went super mumble rap, and now I'm like, I don't know what he's saying. But What a Time to Be Alive is, to me, the really first trap album that got people into it, that really got people into the genre. It made it more mainstream. I mean, obviously, everyone knows Jumpman. That is a... I hate Drake. Drake is a fuckboy. He's dumb. You already know that from Audio Face. He also has a kid. But Jumpman is a banger of a track. Like, I hate to admit it, but...
Jumpman, them boys up to something. I think I need some Robitussin. Way too many questions, you must think I trust you. You searching for answers, I do not know nothing. Woo! I see him tweaking, ain't no something's coming. Woo! Jumpin', them boys up to something. Woo! Jumpin', fuck what you expecting. Woo! Shout out, Michael Jordan just said text me. Woo!
Jumpin'. I just seen the jet take out, they up to something. Them boys just not bluffing. Jumpin', them boys up to something. She was trying to join a team, I told her
what. Absolutely. I love Future's part on it. I love the production of it with Metro Boomin. I like Drake's part in it, which is rare and fantastic.
What this album was like an example or like an experiment in pop trap.
Yes.
Which was now like a newer genre that like Migos and a couple of others are jumping into with the help of production from Metro Boomin, London on the Track, the kind of people who are like on here with their trap tags, Tay Keith. But Live from the Gutter was one of the songs that like if you listen to the album was this other just like really great banger on here. I mean, Drake and Future are just like trading bars. Their bars are actually pretty good.
They're good, yeah.
the production, if you're just getting into trap, it's not as trappy as trap has become with like the
exactly hi-hats. It's a it's a great intro to it,
like held back. Definitely, like people were well familiarized with trap very early on, even into the aughts, of course. But as far as becoming mainstream, becoming something that like, oh, trap music, this is different from rap. What a Time to Be Alive is one of those albums that really kind of, what Sean's saying, pushed it from kind of niche rap heads love this, especially in the South Atlanta, to this is something that people on a musical, like wider scale can really pinpoint and understand.
Yes.
So with that being said, somehow Drake has landed on one of our most important awards. Drake and Future's What a Time to Be Alive, number 37. Yes. We continue with Pop, I guess, in 36.
We have Billie Eilish, When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Another one.
When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go?
Yeah, another one of the 2019s. Jesus Christ, this, as a pop album, this is one of my favorites that's been made in the decade because it's so different. It's so out there compared to what everyone else is making. And yeah. Billie Eilish, we've talked about this on our award show. It's she does whatever the hell she wants when she wants. And that's the entire thing of this album.
For so much of pop in the new millennium, the 2000s, it's basically just been manufactured, blonde, blue-eyed, blonde-haired white girl singing about feelings. It's just like, that is the idea of pop. And
more
like,
or less,
it's, sometimes it gets kind of interesting. Like Lady Gaga did a pretty interesting version of
100%.
That.
100%. Adele's done some great stuff at work too. But then there's been the normal
Taylor Swift's, Carly Rae Jepsen's. And pop is a really depressing place if you're someone who's looking for like the fundamentals of music.
Yeah.
And where you can push music forward, still make it popular and popularly accessible to people. Because that's one of the benefits to pop music. It's not a bad thing. But too often, especially in America, it's commercialized to fit what we think a certain demographic will buy. Yes,
but
this blew a hole straight through that. And Billie Eilish's existence continues to do that.
And it got so much traction. This album did. It just blew up. It's played all the time in radios and shopping malls randomly. But it's so different. That's my favorite thing. It's experimental. It sounds like if Bjork was really depressed, this is shit she would make.
If Bjork was depressed.
Exactly. This is, it's really heavy electronics. The songs will just like cut in the middle of the song and just completely change halfway through. It's good. I mean, fuck, I don't even know what song I want
to
put
pick, on. Because like, with these, we want to try to pick something that like, if you haven't heard this album,
it's a good
then
one.
Like an opener, to, like to start into. Or if you've heard this album and artist a lot, in order to get into the album, this is what I recommend. For those reasons, I'm recommending My Strange Addiction. And you might ignite it. Hurts, but I know how to hide it. Kinda like it. Bad news. One of us is gonna lose. I'm the powder, you're the fuse. Just add some friction. You are my strange addiction. You addiction. My doctors can't explain my symptoms or my pain, but you are my strange addiction. My Strange Addiction,
that's a good song.
If you've heard the pop hits that Billie Eilish has done, from like Bad Guy to You Should See Me in a Crown, then you'll feel pretty comfortable with it, but you'll also start to understand like Billie Eilish's quirkiness, though, way she's willing to go into pop music that like doesn't usually happen, which is why weirdo music heads like us really appreciate Billie Eilish and can't wait for her wonderful musical future.
That was
number 36.
Now, number 35, we have Neon Indian with Vega International Night School. That came out in 2015, and holy crap, this album is phenomenal. I showed Neon Indian to Dan recently. I don't know why I never showed it to you earlier. I've been listening to this shit.
I'm aware.
You're aware of it, but you never really like gave into it or whatever. And I showed him a little bit of Vega International Night School. He goes, "Oh shit!"
When in a couple seconds, you can kind of tell what kind of album you're dealing with. Yes. If you're like me and you've like heard so much music, you can like quickly separate the wheat from the chaff.
Exactly.
Like, Neon Indian's bringing it. Like, we've talked a lot, especially in the Audio Face Awards recently, about Toyota Man, his newest single. From music that should be coming next year, which might end up in another list somewhere. Neon Indian's first, or like this one, Vega International Night School, was just this, from it's what I've heard of it, very...
super funk. Yeah. It's funk dance beat, but electronic experimental. It's Roosevelt on drugs, is what I would say. It's just put so many sounds into it, but make it with a funk beat and other stuff. Lyrics are fantastic. His voice is awesome. You just want to stand up and dance to it. It makes you happy. It makes you cry. There's so much into this album. It all flows. It feels like the theme of the album feels like you're in a nightclub where it's like the color is purple.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great way to explain it. The track I would recommend is the last track, News from the Sun, the live bootleg version of News from the Sun. That is a perfect track for you to get into. That's probably my favorite on it. There's a lot of good songs on here, but that's a good one to just introduce you to the album. I mean, there's not gonna be too many people that are familiar with it unless you're a big fan of it or you know indie stuff and whatnot. People are gonna know it, the people who listen to it, you're gonna know Slumlord or you're gonna know Annie. Those are the two big songs that came out of it, which are fantastic. But I mean, News from the Sun is so good, such a good track.
Yes,
and I cannot wait for next year to see what Neon Indian does.
I'm ready for ready? Our pick for number 34.
Let's do it.
Anderson .Paak's Oxnard. This came out last year. This was our tie. For Audio Face Album of the Year.
Last year, yep.
And because it, like, Anderson .Paak said he wanted to make Oxnard, and then the second part of it, which ultimately became Ventura, which is also good, but I think Oxnard's the main part of it. Better, fantastic. And it's, like, the main part of it.
Yes.
But he wanted to try to make something that was, like, the new Mad Villainy, which is like, you can say a lot with that and what that means, but really he wanted to create something that within rap was instrumentally had depth and lyrically had like a ways to go and wasn't so superficial. And the turn that Anderson .Paak decided to go to was to take his funk roots that he was kind of owning with his previous albums and really just own in on them and make
and
them
dive
this,
in
really
go crazy.
So everything is just like funk but hip hop. When you even have, like, Kendrick Lamar's song, Tense. Kendrick Lamar, respect me from afar. I was made in this image. You call me a god. Everybody in attendance. I'm about to perform. Everybody get offended by the shit I got on. Like, can you buy that nigga 900 horse? Can you drive that nigga a G5? Can you fly that nigga? I need 10 so I can look at the snakes and poses. I need 10. Cause bomb head is non-disclosure. I need 10. So I can live with a peace of mind without niggas taking a peace of mind. And peace be still and not do fine. So fuck a fix-it ticket. You pull me over and might see one of your bitches. It sounds like a funk song from the 80s. Like, no one would know what to do with it in the 80s because it's like a rap song.
It's way, exactly. So it's a fantastic album. Remember, I listened to this like, holy shit, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But crazy as in good. I like all the little like interludes that are into songs that go into other songs, but they're not just separated with a lot of people doing. They're just within the song itself, which is like a Mad Villainy thing. And it's cool that that's one of my favorite parts of Oxnard is just how each song tells a story going into another song that tells another story, and it keeps going and going and going and going.
Yeah, the songs have purpose, and not only that, it goes together as an album.
And this 100%.
This ranking list is about good albums. We're expecting, or like we would hope that if you go through these things, you listen to them as albums from start to finish.
Exactly.
They play through as a beautiful piece that way, in a way that the music that gets released on a week-to-week basis that we review often does not.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a phenomenal album, Tense is. We're going to stay in the rap-ish category with our next pick. Number 33, 21 Savages.
Oh my God.
I Am Greater Than I Was.
I fucking love this album, man.
Again, this is an album so powerful that it turned him into a trap fan. Or like, an artist so powerful it turned him into a trap fan. We had discussions about like what 21 Savage album would do it, because you, in a previous iteration of this list, had... It's an album.
I had it on here, yeah.
And then I mentioned Without Warning, and that threw you for a loop as well.
Shit, because Without Warning is so freaking good.
I was listening to Without Warning while playing City Skylines yesterday, which is a weird vibe.
That's such a weird vibe. At that point, you just want to flood the town. At that point, just to make a point, be like, I am a god.
No, flood the town to the sound of I could show you how to fit a
duffel. Show you how to fit 100 bags.
Anyways, that's not even this album. I Am Greater Than I Was is like 21 Savage's. It's his grow-up album, kind of like Tyler, the Creator, except he did it way faster.
And he also did it way better, honestly, because every song I like on this album, I mean, even have the fun one where it's A&T, Ass and Titties, it's got to throw in a little fun jab in there. But Out for the Night, where you're sampling Santana, that song is a banger. You have, obviously, Starts With a Lot, everyone's going to know that track. Can't Leave Without It, All of My Friends, That Shit Makes Me Cry, and Ball Without You, that song definitely makes me cry.
Yeah.
Everything on this album, there's bars, there's emotion to it. The production on it is fantastic. Top to bottom, might be my favorite trap album ever made, possibly.
But so far.
So far, exactly. That and Without Warning are my two favorites by far, though, that I've listened to the most.
I'm willing to make Ball Without You the pick.
100%. Ball Without You is such a good 21 track, Savage, dude.
If you've heard 21 Savage passively, that song is going to throw you forward. You was my dog. You was my dog. I would've went to war the world on your car. On your car. Thought you had my back. Nah. You let me fall. Let me fall. You hear my pain. My pain. Then you caused it. Then you caused it. Now I got a ball without you. Straight up. Now I got a ball. Straight up. Now I got a ball without you. Now I got a ball. Now I got a ball without you. Ball. Now I got a ball. Now I got a ball. Now I got a ball without you. Now I got a ball. Cross me once, it's fuck you forever. Straight up. Middle school got my heart broke, stop writing love letters. Heart cold, yeah, so cold, had to buy the month plus sweater. 100%, because you're like, whoa, this guy's got feelings, and then just the lyrics of everything, it's so personal and so real, too. Because the thing about 21 Savage, even when he's just rapping about like hood shit, is that 21 Savage has a way of mixing metaphor and like storytelling into his verses that like the greats do this. Like Jay-Z back in the day used to do stuff like this when he was like mixing metaphors this well. And when he takes that and then turns it to different subject matter, it's just really powerful.
Yes.
So definitely 21 Savage's I Am Greater Than I Was for one of the top albums of the 10s. 33 actually.
32? Yeah. We've got Wash the Throne of Jay-Z and Kanye West.
Yeah. I mean this
fuck yes. Me, dude. When you start with No Church in the Wild with Frank Ocean and The Dream, that is, oh my god, that song is very, very,
I mean,
very
where
good,
do I start?
Dude.
Lift off. Niggas yep. in Paris, Welcome to the Jungle, Made in America. Like, it's weird because Kanye West and Jay-Z are very different people at 2019 than they were in 2011.
Oh, yes.
They have a very different relationship with each other, a complicated relationship with each other, a nuanced relationship with each other. Jay-Z has a nuanced relationship with himself and Jay-Z and
title.
And title.
And the NFL.
And the NFL. But this was, I would say, both Jay-Z and Kanye at the top of their game. I'm glad 100%. They got along together long enough to make this album.
And then like the next year, it just all went tits up.
Yeah, but this is like canonical rap history.
It is so fucking good.
What? How do you pick a song from this to like jump into if you don't know this album already? I'll give it to Made in America. Because it's near the bottom. It also yeah. has that Frank Ocean mix from No Church in the Wild.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Traffic. Old folks are telling that they're playing traffic. A million hits and the web crashes. Damn, South Park had them all laughing. Now all my niggas designing and we all swagging. Ignore the critics just to say we did it. This ain't no fashion show, motherfucker, we live it. Sweet Martin, Sweet Queen Coretta, Sweet Brother Malcolm, Sweet Queen Betty. Mother Mary, Sweet Father Joseph, Sweet Jesus, we made it. And this is the one that exposed me to Frank Ocean. The first one that exposed
yeah,
me to Frank Ocean.
This is when Frank Ocean was kind of just establishing
yep.
himself. He had made all the right friends in the music industry, and the music industry people were being able to tell, like, oh shit, I know where this guy's going. He's like got really big talent. But I don't even think by that time he had his full album out yet.
Yes.
But nevertheless, 32, Kanye West.
All right, now you take the wheel.
Yes. Dan Number 31 is D'Angelo and the Vanguard, basically D'Angelo, with the album Black Messiah that came out in 2014. It is, I would first put this in soul. It's one of the few albums that's like soul, but it's definitely neo-soul. It's like one of the Vanguard, no pun intended, it's one of like the Vanguard albums for neo-soul, in that we're taking elements of soul music, but we're adding punk, honestly. Punk, yeah. We're adding rock, we're adding alternative. It's obviously funky, as the definition of it is, but less so than soul was before it, obviously. It's not defined or tied down by any of these kind of definitions. It makes it kind of alternative in a way, where you just take the influences a la carte, pick them as you may, but it just comes in whatever. And then what you get is a fucking masterpiece that starts to bottom, you can play through,
you can laugh, shuffle,
you cry. Yeah. The song Ain't That Easy is just this really good album intro where it's just building up with guitar and bass, and it's just like a band coming together to really get people hyped up for an album, like the old school way. Easily the song that just like melts me every single time that I'm going to recommend people listen to if they haven't heard D'Angelo before, or especially this album, is Really Love. It's the fifth song in the album, and I think that first like five songs is a tear, and it's the last one in that sort of tear. It actually sounds very different from most of the album. It's more, it's lighter, it has fewer instruments, it's generally softer, it's kind of a love song, but it still keeps up this really good tempo, it keeps up this really good beat that really kind of like centers you in that album and in the project. It's an album kind of about blackness and black empowerment, as many of these albums were in between 2014 to like 2016-17.
Yes.
And was kind of a leader in that, both looking at that past and present thematically with the lyrics. But like, it's goddamn mandatory listening in of the decade. It's really good. And does a lot of things I think albums in the future also did right, with the themes you should touch you should touch upon, and the way you should approach music. Like I said, just pick what sounds good and make it work. Woo!
All right.
Wow.
That was that.
That was that. We got through those. Thank you for listening to this point. We still have many more to go to. You want to know what number 30 is? I know you do. And you want to know what number one is, of course. Yes, so that's why you should make sure you're subscribed if you're not already. Follow Audioface Pod on Twitter and Instagram. So you can get and actually respond to and talk about our 50 of the 10s and what you like and give your opinions.
What she order.
And
Chick-fil-A.
We'll talk to you in the next one. But first, before we go, do we have any honorable mentions that we will put into the portion that we just listed?
For me, I have two I would put in here. Yeah, Fleet Foxes Crack Up, which came out in 2017. Amazing, amazing, amazing folk album. It's the 3rd of May. That track is a good track to kind of set you off on the album. I'm not a big folk person, right? But I like Fleet Foxes a lot, all of their works, but especially this album that came out in 2017. It's what made me like the genre a little bit more than I have in the past, which is surprising. It doesn't happen that often for me to do something along the lines of that. And the other one would be of Monsters and Men, My Head is an Animal, which came out in 2012, another Icelandic band. And again, that is peak indie folk rock, alternative rock, and that, I mean, there's so many tracks on that album that are fantastic. Honestly, listen top to bottom to My Head is an Animal to get a feeling of it. But definitely those two deserve to be up in there. It was hard. I wanted to find them in, but they just didn't have a place in it for our list because our list is too stacked.
Yeah. My addition in here is going to be Nipsey Hussle's Crenshaw. Nipsey Hussle, we kind of know, died in this year.
Yes, Crenshaw's very good.
And he died at his the namesake of this album, the Crenshaw Marathon sort of clothing corner that he, on Crenshaw and Slauson in Los Angeles, that he made his home base and business out of. He released this album originally as a mixtape that was for free, and then once he had a physical version of it, he released it for $100. A move that inspired Jay-Z so much, he bought 31 copies of it. That's and
random fact of the day.
And it's a really nice, I think to understand Nipsey Hussle as who he was, he only released one studio album. The rest were just mixtapes. That was just the way he rolled. And so I think this 2013 mixtape Crenshaw was like the most formed mixtape type album that he had done, that had Rick Ross, Cuzzy Capone. I mean, it's just fucking killed on here. So that's the one I would have added around here, but until then, we have more to do.
Yeah, we got a few more to do.
Cheers. We'll see you in the next one.